a number of years ago, TED Talks were very popular at the start of the age of the internet. So some of you still remember TED Talks. In case you are not familiar with them, TED, T-E-D, stands for Technology, Entertainment and Design. So they are run by an American-Canadian non-profit organization, and usually they organize conferences and they will post their talks online for free from about mid-2000s onwards. And their slogan was, as you can see, ideas worth spreading. And later on they changed that to ideas change everything. And so they started posting videos of these talks from about 2001 onwards for free on the internet. So, and these talks were called TED Talks. And they became really, really popular. Many people were listening to them. And their idea was, in these conferences and TED Talks, is that they would invite inspirational speakers and they give talks on technology, on design, later on includes topics on politics and culture and sociology and humanitarian issues. Right, so some of their most popular talks include, you know, do schools cue creativity? Your body language may shape who you are, or how great leaders inspire action. And these talks, they became really popular because, well, they were posted online for free, and people started to realize you can access these while supposedly super smart, super wise, inspirational speakers that we could never access before. And they wanted to learn from these great and engaging and inspirational speakers. And so you have these people, 15, 20 minutes, videos of inspirational speakers, and people were just consuming them hungrily. And the demand for these videos grew so much, people started organizing and working with them, and they launched other similar style talks called TEDx talks from different countries all across the world. And people would just sit and listen to these talks for 20 plus minutes. Well, in some sense, it feels like something similar happens every weekend at churches across the world, doesn't it? Every weekend we gather, we sit down, and we listen to one person talk for 30 minutes. And in the church, we call what that person is doing preaching a sermon. Well, it's a sermon supposed to be like a TED Talk, inspirational, gives you knowledge and wisdom to be a better person. Is that what a sermon is supposed to be doing? Is there a difference between a TED Talk and a sermon? If there is, what is the difference? Or are we just wasting our time when we come to church when we could be doing something else? We're going to look at that question this morning. So as I mentioned, we are starting a new sermon series called Rhythms of Grace. You slowly find out why it is called that. And today we are going to look at what happens when we sit under the preaching of God's word. Why do we do it each week? Why do we have this rhythm weekly in our lives? A rhythm, in some sense, that has been present in the Christian church for thousands of years. And so we're going to look at a Bible passage to help us answer those questions. We are looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 onwards. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to that passage, and I'm going to read from that passage to us this morning. Let me invite you to stand. I'm going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to chapter 4, verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord. This is a letter from Paul to Timothy, who is a minister in the church. This is what Paul says. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learn it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers, so to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. You may be seated. Three main points I would like to bring out from this passage. I'm not bringing out everything in this passage, just three main themes to do with preaching. So point number one is this. In preaching, we encounter God through his word. In preaching, we encounter God through his word. Now, one of the things that we need to acknowledge first and foremost is that the fact that the God of the Bible, the God of the Scriptures, is a speaking and communicating God. He has always been a speaking and communicating God, even before creation. God is a triune God. Our God is a triune God, Father, Son, Spirit. And they have always been speaking, communing with one another from eternity past. So we have a God who speaks. And we see that God, throughout history, God has been speaking to his people. God spoke to Adam in the Garden of Eden. He spoke to Abram. He spoke to Moses. He spoke through the prophets to the kings. He spoke through the prophets to his people. The God of the Bible has always been a speaking God. He speaks, he has spoken, and he has revealed himself to us. He is not silent. In fact, the God of the Bible, he doesn't only speak with words. He has spoken to us by his Son. He comes and participates, enters into his creation through Jesus our Lord. And so we have Jesus Christ, at parts of the Bible, called the Word of God, the Word of God, the perfect expression and revelation of who God is. Listen to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. This is what the author of Hebrews says. In the past, notice what God did. He spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So you have the Son himself being the spoken word of God, exact representation, perfect representation of God, who God is. He sustains all things by his powerful word. Our God, the God that we worship, is a speaking God. And that idea forms the foundation of preaching. You see, when Jesus was here on earth, what he did was he gathered around himself a bunch of disciples. He lived with them. He taught them. He preached to them. And these disciples lived with Jesus for a good part of 3 years. Learned everything from Jesus. They witnessed, they remembered Jesus' teaching. They remembered how Jesus treated people. And so towards the end of the life of Jesus, when he died on the cross, rose again, is eventually ascended to the Father, where can we find Jesus today? Where can we find God's word and God's teaching after that? We find Jesus in the scriptures that the disciples wrote. The disciples who heard from Jesus, was preached to by Jesus, and God used the personalities, the characteristics, the experience of these disciples, and they wrote down God's word, preserved it for us. And so the scriptures are God's word to us today. Notice what Paul says, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed. God breathed out these scriptures through these personalities, and it is as if God is speaking when we read what the scriptures say. When we hear the Bible read to us, God is speaking. When we sit under preaching, that means what? When we sit under preaching, what we are doing is that we are encountering God in His Word. He's speaking to us through His Word. He's speaking to us definitively. That's where we encounter Jesus. And notice, it's not we encounter Jesus in the general. We encounter Jesus and His gospel promises. Look at verse 15. Same chapter, just one verse before that. This is Paul saying, and talking about Timothy's own experience. How from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures. What are Scriptures able to do? Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That's what God speaking to us through the Word is supposed to be doing. We know about Jesus. It is the proclamation, the declaration, the announcement of who Jesus is and what He has done for us. The gospel promise that He has given us, done and is preached on the basis of God's Word. We are sitting under and we're encountering God in Jesus through the Word and His salvation. And sometimes when I go to another gathering, I go to another church or Christian fellowship to speak, and I'm being introduced, so sometimes they will say something like, now Chin will come and explain the Bible to us. Explain the Bible. So preaching is explaining the Bible. And then there are times where I go to another church, I hear Christians, they would refer to the Sunday morning sermon as teaching. And so they would say something like, oh, the teaching on the weekends during the church service is really good. So is preaching teaching? So is that what preaching is? Merely explaining and teaching what the scriptures say, what the Bible is? Instinctively, we know there's a difference. But we know it's not the same. Preaching is not merely teaching or explaining the Bible. Let me give you an example. It's the difference between this. When I say things like, you know, the central tenet of the Christian faith is through believing and acceptance of Jesus, the anticipated eschatological Messiah, the Word incarnate, in His active and passive obedience during His life, through His vicarious and substitutionary atonement on the cross and His resurrection, through all of that, we are sinful human beings that are able to be reconciled to God. It's between that and, you know, Christ is the Savior that we have been waiting for, the Savior that we are longing for in our entire lives, the Savior that we're looking to. Right? He lived the perfect life that we should have lived. A life lived in the standard of God's laws. And He died the death that we deserve on the cross for our sins. That if you believe in Him, you can be reconciled to God. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we worship. That's the kind of God who pours out His grace and mercy to us. That's good news. We don't deserve it, but yet God does it for us anyways. That's His promise to us. Praise God. That's a God worth worshiping and singing praises to. You see the difference between the two? One is merely the transfer of information. The other is proclaiming something, heralding something, announcing something. We are announcing the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not merely teaching and explaining the Bible. It is that. But preaching is more than that. It is the powerful declaration, announcement of what Christ has done for us, the promises of God in Him. And when that is done faithfully, when that's done biblically, God speaks to us. We encounter God when we sit under the sermon, when we sit under the preaching of God's word. And that's one of the reasons why when the Reformation happened, the gospel was recovered. One of the things that happened was the place of the pulpit was elevated. In different churches across the continent, they began to change the shape of the church. They elevate the pulpit. They put it on a raised platform. They're not raising the speaker. They're not praising the speaker or the preacher, but the preaching of the word of God itself. Because they recognize through preaching, we meet God in His promises. And they were hungry for God's word because they were starved of it. And that's why the preaching of the word of God must be central in the church. That takes priority over everything else in a church. Because that's where we as sinful human beings, we encounter God once again. And not encounter God in His judgment, we encounter God in His grace and His promises in Christ Jesus proclaimed to us again and again, week after week. And that's why Paul charges Timothy, chapter 4, verse 1. Of all the things he could have said, this is his last letter to Timothy. He knows that. Of all the things he could have said, he says this: in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. What's the charge? Preach the word. Preach the word. Be prepared in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, encourage, with great patience and careful instruction. Preach the word. Because it is in preaching we encounter God through His word. And good preaching is necessarily based on God's word. Nothing else. Because it is only in God's word we find His promises. And so what's happening in churches across the world when people are gathered, when Christians are gathered every weekend at church and we sit under the preaching of God's word, is that we encounter God once again. Encounter God in His gospel through His word. And His promises are declared to us again in a way that no Bible study can do. Bible studies are good, but they are very different compared to preaching. We encounter God through His word in preaching. And therefore, it is absolutely vital as Christians, we come to church every week. We have this rhythm in our lives, this beat, rhythm of having God's promises, God's word proclaimed to us again and again and again and again. Our souls are nourished, our souls are fed, faith is strengthened. And we grow to be more like Christ. And what happens if we sit under bad preaching, bad sermons, sermons not based on the Bible? Well, when we sit under bad preaching, it's like eating junk food for our bodies. We feel full. Let's say if we eat a bag of chips for dinner, well, we feel full once we finish the bag of chips. We won't go hungry. But that's not good for our bodies. And if we go on doing that more and more, we become really unhealthy. Let's keep going further. What happens if we sit under heretical sermons? Sermons that deny the core tenets of our faith. Well, it's like eating rotten food out of a dump. We may feel full for one meal, but we die very quickly. Because while our bodies are not getting the necessary nutrients, and that's not actual food, it looks like food. It's not. Our bodies will shut down and die. Our souls will shrivel up very quickly when we sit under heretical preaching. But when we sit under good, solid, biblical preaching, it's like eating a healthy gourmet meal. Tasty, nutritious, good for our bodies. And look at that dish right there. And once we've eaten something like this, we can't go back, can we? We have tasted how good food can taste. Why on earth would we go back? Well, we can't and we won't. The same with good, solid biblical preaching. Once we've encountered God through good biblical preaching, once our souls are nourished by that, it's very hard for us to go back to non-biblical preaching. We can't. And that's why we need a steady diet of sitting under good biblical expository preaching based on God's word. It's good for our souls. In preaching, we encounter God through his word. That's point number one. Let's go to point number two. This is a much shorter point. In preaching, we encounter God and are transformed. In preaching, we encounter God and are transformed. When we come and we encounter Almighty or powerful God through his word, that should not leave us the same. An encounter with God changes us. We may feel like the same person at the end of the service. We may feel like that, but rest assured, the Spirit of God is working and changing you through our encounter with God's word. God's word is too powerful to leave us the same each time. Look at chapter 3, verse 16 again. All scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Right, through the preaching of God's word, we are rebuked, we are taught, we are corrected, we are trained in righteousness. We are changed to be more like Jesus. We are transformed slowly, bit by bit, from our old sinful self to our new self in Jesus, week by week. And so we saw earlier on, Paul calls Timothy, preach the word, be prepared in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, encourage. And that means there are times when we sit under the preaching of God's word, it's painful and convicting. It's painful and convicting because while our sinful selves are laid bare to a holy and righteous God in his word. But we're not laid bare so that we are judged and condemned. No. We're laid bare so that God can perform surgery on our sinful self through his word, cut away those sinful self, so that we become more like Jesus. And so when the preached word is painful and convicting, it is painful and convicting in a good way. Because then we know we're encountering God and he's changing us, bit by bit, to be more like Jesus. There's one aspect here in this passage that sometimes we have to remind ourselves again. Right? Look at verse chapter 4, verse 2 again. Preach the word, be prepared in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, encourage, with great patience and careful instruction. With great patience and careful instruction. Sometimes we are so impatient as human beings. We're impatient with ourselves, right? With our own growth in Christ. Or we can be impatient with other Christians and their spiritual growth. And sometimes we just say to God, or we just want God to work a miracle in us, or work a miracle in another person. Just change them already. God, what's taking you so long? Well, oftentimes when changes or when things happen quickly, they don't last very long and they don't last very well. Not impossible, but unlikely. Why? It's because it lacks that foundation of struggle, that foundation of prayerfulness, of wrestling with God, of wrestling with our own sins, of crying out to God, that experience of slowly learning to do things year after year after year. And when you have come through all of that struggle, all of that pain, and you come through to the other side, after all those experiences, that change lasts much longer. It's embedded into our souls because we've wrestled with it. We've gone through with that. A house that's built quickly in 2 weeks will probably not last as long as a house meticulously and carefully built over 2 years. Character is not built in 2 weeks. And our transformation to be more like Christ can and sometimes will take time. And we need to be patient. And that's why all the more important why we need to have this rhythm of grace. This rhythm of sitting under the preaching of God's word, listening to the grace of God, the grace of the gospel of Christ proclaimed to us. And through this proclamation, week after week, this rhythm, week after week, we are changed slowly. And if you do this year after year, year after year, year after year, 5 years later, 10 years later, you realize, wow, I have grown and changed. I have been transformed by God. But that takes time and to be part of that rhythm. And that's done through the Word of God, through the preached Word of God. In preaching, we encounter God through His Word, and we encounter God and are transformed. That's point number two. Number three, last one. In preaching, we encounter God together. And one of the things that we see in this passage is that there is a very personal and relational element that exists between a preacher and a congregation. It is not the same when we have a video preaching on the screen. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 14. Paul, talking to Timothy, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, all the kinds of things that happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured." Verse 14, "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of." Why? Because you know those from whom you learned it. Paul knew Timothy. Timothy knew Paul. He knew what he was like. He knew his life circumstance. He was trained and discipled by Paul himself. Paul asked him to continue on to what in what he has learned and become convinced of. Why? Because he knows the people that he learned it from. The people that he learned all these godly truths from, people he knew. There's this personal element to discipleship, to training. And this is a very personal element to preaching. When we sit under the proclamation, and we sit under the preacher who's proclaiming God's word to us, the ideal thing is that we need to know a little bit about the life of the preacher and what his life exemplifies. And the preacher should know a bit about the congregation and about what they're going through. So that when the word of God is preached, the preacher knows what to bring out from God's word and apply to the congregation of God. And that's why we don't have video preaching. It's not the same. We need to be sitting under the diet of somebody who knows us. And not only that, this is done together as the body of Christ, as a covenant community. Right? We encounter God through His Word as a covenant community, as a church, as a body of Christ. We don't listen to preaching by ourselves. I don't preach to someone one-to-one. That would be very strange. But it's done together. We sit down and listen together. We help each other in applying the sermon to our lives. We help and we ask and we encourage each other in applying the sermon in our daily lives. We help each other remember the sermons that we heard. Because we want to do that together. So in preaching, we sit under preaching together and we encounter God, His Word, His promises, good promises in Christ, declared to us again, proclaimed to us again and again. Our souls are fed, nourished, and we do it all together as a covenant community, as a church. We don't do it by ourselves. That's why we gather each week as God's people and do it. That's why COVID was such a disruption in our Christian life. Because we're not together with the people of God. Let me draw out two very simple applications. Very simple application as we come to the end. First is this. Come to church every weekend with hearts expecting God to speak to you, to speak to us in and through the sermon. Come with eager anticipation, eager expectation of what God is going to say through His Word, through the sermon, to change us. Now, our hearts are changed when we listen to God's Word. And so we come to church every weekend, eager, anticipating what God is going to do, what God is going to work in and through us. Very important, especially important for those of us, sometimes we find it hard to sit down during the service and actually concentrate on the sermon. Right? Sometimes we are so distracted, we got to serve in this ministry, and then after church, we got to go in that ministry, and all other reasons we can give. And we don't make the point to sit down and concentrate on the sermon. Let me tell you, there's nothing more important to your souls than to sit down and listen to the sermon. Listen to the preached word regularly. Make every effort, build the discipline in doing that. It is food for your souls. Make it a point to pray. Pray for those who preach to us. Pray for your own hearts and the hearts of those in the church as you do that. That's number one. Second application is this. Simple one. Talk about the sermon. Even better, talk about the passage of the sermon. Take notes or take mental notes during the sermon, after church, instead of asking about the weather. Encourage one another from the sermon, from the passage. Ask questions, share your impressions, your thoughts, your questions, how the sermon was encouraging to you or convicting to you, or if you disagree slightly with the preacher, that's okay. But engage with the text, engage with the sermon. As you're waiting in line for your coffee, well, share with the person in front of you or behind you. And the main idea is engage with the Word of God. And one of the things that we try to let you know ahead of time is what the main passage will be for the sermon this coming weekend. Well, you know what you can do? Just take 5 to 10 minutes, read through that passage before the weekend. Very simple thing to do. Or just come 5 to 10 minutes earlier to church, sit down with a friend or a family member, and read that together. Pray through that passage. Get your hearts ready for the Word of God. Very simple applications, but it is oftentimes these simple applications and done repeatedly in a rhythm again and again over the course of years that slowly changes us. As simple applications, simple actions as part of the rhythm of our lives, as a part of a rhythm of grace, because we are encountering God in His grace through the gospel. It is a rhythm, a pattern that we do regularly in our lives. Not something we do out of obligation, but something we do out of grace, God's amazing sheer grace to us, a rhythm of grace in our lives. Let me finish with this. Going back to the idea of TED Talks. And I was reading something about these TED Talks for this sermon, and I found out that for someone to attend some of these conferences, to listen to these speakers in person, it is not cheap. 2006, the attendance was by invitation only, cost $4,400 per person for the whole conference. In 2018, the ticket to attend a TED Talk and the whole conference cost $10,000 per person. Now, not just one talk, there's a bunch of workshops and seminars. It's a 5-day conference. But you see how much value people put for these conferences. They actually pay those prices to be part of these conferences. And the people who pay this amount of money to attend these conferences, they are willing to pay because they think it will change their working lives. It will give them opportunity to connect or network with people that they don't usually get in other places. So they're willing to pay $10,000 for attending a conference. And every week, we come, we connect, we are able to network, we encounter God Himself. Almighty, all powerful God who made the universe. How much greater is that? Or maybe, you know, we should be like TED Talks and start charging people $500 every time. No, we're not going to do that. We would never do that. We would never charge anyone for access to listen to God's word. Never. You can hear that from me. Never. We would never put any barriers or obstacles for anyone to come to encounter God. And do you know why? Because the true cost of encountering God is too high for any one of us to pay. The true barrier is too great for any one of us to overcome. Because the true cost has been paid for by the blood of Christ. The true barrier has been removed by the death and resurrection of Jesus. It may cost tens of thousands of dollars to attend a TED Talk, but it costs the blood of the Son of God for sinful human beings to meet and encounter God so that we can approach the throne of God. And that cost has been paid for, not by us, by Jesus Himself, so that we can encounter Him each week, to know Him, to draw near to Him, and to approach Him. And why would we not want to do that? To meet with this gracious, merciful, kind God. To encounter Him again and again through the preaching of God's word. To have our hearts transformed together with the covenant community of God. That is an amazing privilege, an amazing blessing, an amazing grace for us. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You that each week we come as a covenant community, as Your family, and we can encounter You. Not You in Your holy, righteous anger towards us, but You in Your gracious mercy in Jesus. We thank You that we can know who You are. We can know Your love, Your grace, that as a people we can approach You. Approach You as our Father in heaven. And so, Father, we ask and pray for those of us who may struggle with that each week. Help us to come to church faithfully, regularly. And at times we admit it can be a chore. It is such a struggle. Maybe because of family circumstances or relationships or just health issues. Lord, we ask for Your grace and mercy. Help us to do that each week. By Your Spirit, transform us once more through Your word. And as a people, as a church, as we grow, as we think of You more, as we make the name of Jesus Christ known amongst ourselves and amongst our community, amongst our friends, transform us once again. Help us to do it together as a family. To support one another, encourage one another. That we don't do this by ourselves. And so, Father, we ask and pray that You do all of these things. Continue to speak to us through the preaching of Your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.